If you're a fan of the rock band Guster, then you know they've recently released a new album, their seventh. The band's lead singer, Ryan Miller, is a recent Vermont transplant. And along with touring with the band, he's also busy trying to make new friends through a Vermont PBS web series. And he's here to talk more about both. Welcome, Ryan. I want to talk more about the web series for Vermont PBS called Making Friends with Ryan Miller. So tell us more about that.
This whole thing sort of came to fruition, a discussion with my friend Hillary Hess from Vermont PBS, and she had sort of been tasked to do a, you know, an intensely Vermont-y web series as part of sort of a PBS, you know, I think they were waking up to the fact that the internet exists or something, and she had seen that, and we sort of knew each other, and we met at Hotel Vermont, and she said, "Hey, do you want to do a web series?" And I said, "Yes," because I just say yes to things. And I said, "I'll call you in the morning. Let me sleep on it." And I called her, and I was like, "Let's call it Making Friends with Ryan Miller," which I think was met with a little bit of resistance at first, but it wasn't this sort of self-aggrandizing thing, but it was basically that, you know. In sort of all aspects of my creative life, I try and be really transparent and, you know, break down the fourth wall as much as possible. So this, she had sort of found me at a point when I had been here. Let's see, I've been here for 4.5 years now, and I was sort of having trouble. I met a lot of people, and I had a lot of sort of friends here, but I found it sort of difficult to find these sort of really eccentric, vibrant, passionate, ambitious personalities. So the sort of baseline for the show was that I had sort of discovered before of what I kind of look for was high functioning weirdos. You know, I really like you know, big personalities and oddballs, but I also like people that do stuff and actually, you know, and that Venn diagram, there's a when you can get it right and sort of thread that middle, I find that's kind of a sweet spot. So we had sort of set out to find these personalities in Vermont, and I had sort of heard anecdotally that they were here in, you know, in mass, as much as Vermont has anything in mass. And I was like, well, let's just try it. Let's try one. And that's kind of how it started.
Do you think that a place like Vermont sort of allows those kinds of personalities to thrive?
You know, I didn't think so when I got here. I was, you know, I moved here from Brooklyn, kind of in the middle of the Brooklyn Renaissance. I'd been spending a lot of time in L.A. in the last few years because I do a lot of film scoring. So I had been sort of enmeshed in these really creative communities where people are constantly looking for collaborators and very much, you know, within the first meeting, like, well, what are you working on? I'm working on this. Let's do stuff. And that really wasn't the case when I got here. And that was sort of what I felt like I was bumping my head against. But as I kind of got into this thing and, you know, 9 episodes in and 9 friends later, or 10, I guess, or 12, depending on, you know, some of these are couples. I'm finding that there's it's a different energy than you would find in maybe L.A., Austin, New York, you know, Chicago. But yes, Vermont definitely provides for that, but it's a completely different flavor of that kind of high-functioning weirdo thing.
Why do you think that would be, though? Like, why Vermont?
Well, the through line that I've sort of, you know, I met a bunch of different kinds of people, and there is a through line with some of these, and a lot of them is that they just kind of have the space to do what they want, and there's also not this crazy financial pressure, you know. Even from the get-go, there's this real sort of gestational period that you're allowed to kind of do something. Like the first person I met was this guy, Jamie, and his whole thing was he was going to build, you know, he bought a piece of land in South Royalton. It was he lived a mile off the grid, and he made or spent $5,000 the first year he was here. So obviously that's not going to happen in L.A. or New York or anywhere like that. But what he was making was so cool. He built his own house out of it was a geodesic dome, and the third floor was a trampoline, and he has a partner, and he has these two little beautiful little kids. And it really, he was trying to make it not transactionally based at all. In fact, he's since decamped to an island somewhere and trying to live on no money. So like that was a really uniquely Vermont experience and that was the first person that we met. And that really kind of was, Hillary and I looked at each other after that first day and we're like, this is going to work. Like I made a friend, and I did. I went back down to the house with my wife and my kids 3 days later to show them this magical place and meet this crazy guy. And he and I sort of keep in touch, and, you know, we talk all the time on the internet. And I was like, this is going to work because there's people like this here. And that has been reinforced pretty much everywhere along the line.
Let's talk a little bit about that other thing you do with your bandmates, Guster. The new album, Evermotion's, just out.
We've made a real push every record to really change our sound and to really develop and not become a nostalgic band. And, you know, we're just at the end of a pretty intense month and a half of press around this record. And the thing that comes up a lot is that we've been a band for, you know, 20, we met 23 and a half years ago, you know. So the idea that we're still there and we just did a run, you know, we're just halfway through a tour, and these are kind of the biggest touring numbers we've had in years and years and years, and almost kind of at our peak in some of these places. And I think that's a testament to the fact that we've constantly pushed ourselves to make, you know, better and better records, and also to not sort of get stuck in one sort of sonic thing or emotional state. And so I feel like I'm just really proud of the new record. And, you know, it's very much a thing of always looking forward and trying to grow and get better.
In the recent New Yorker article, too, you said something about how you never really considered the music or the band to be cool, or like, can you explain that a little more?
Yeah, like, I'll just give you an example. Last week we were in New Orleans, and at some, I don't know, it was like 1 a.m. and I started getting all these texts, and people were like, nice Family Guy thing. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So apparently on Family Guy last week, they used our band as a punchline for a joke. And I don't know, like Peter Griffin was wearing a tribal tattoo or something about, I don't know. Like, it was totally a diss, but it was also so beautiful and one of the coolest things that's happened to our band, that it's like we can become some kind of national punchline for a band that you liked at some point in your life. And so that's the sort of thing that we're fighting against. I also, don't get me wrong, I embrace it. Like, that's my new avatar on Facebook, is that they have a poster of us, a couple posters of us on the wall and a Family Guy thing. So I love it. But I think it's not like, we were never, ever sort of embraced by, like, the cool blogs or the cool festivals or the cool bands. But that's sort of, you know, that's changing a bit, too. I think, you know, we're going to Europe for the first time in a couple weeks, and BBC is starting to play us a little bit more. So, and, like, there's other little things, you know, like, we're going back to Bonnaroo. We're going to play, you know, some cooler festivals. So I'm not a cool guy. I mean, I don't know. I was just sort of a yuppie that lived in Brooklyn. Maybe nobody's cool. I don't even know how to answer that question, maybe.
Your band takes full advantage of your fans' enthusiasm, and you basically give them full access to your lives through blogs and Twitter and Instagram. Does that ever feel like an intrusion, or does it feel like that's necessity?
Oh, you mean like when I took a picture of a little kid eating a bagel at Bagels Plus this morning in Williston and I put it on our Twitter account? Does that feel like an intrusion? No. That felt awesome. There is a real through line between all these sort of things that I do, the show and the band, of sort of being really open and present and real, you know, as much as I possibly can. And hopefully that's funny or interesting to people on some level. And not, you know, I appreciate people like Prince and Beyonce, who are rigidly private. Also, there's more than one way to do it. But this, that's how we started. I mean, the band started by, you know, we made a record and we sent it out to fans, and we sent, you know, them 10 CDs in a cereal box and a T-shirt and gave them a funny nickname. And we would go sleep on their floors and play at their schools and ingratiate ourselves with their, you know, social group and have them have a show. So this is just a very natural extension of how we've always, you know, we've just been very much a DIY, bottom-up, organically grown band. So it feels very natural for us to do it and just kind of be who you are and hope that you're, you know, when you get there, it's good.